I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus. I'm joined in our Johannesburg studio now by two members of the recently established Vodacom Business Advisory Board. Sanesh Bihari is Managing Executive of SME and Mobile Products at Vodacom Business, and Andrew Fulton is co-founder of data analytics firm 8020. Now, I think everyone agrees that SMEs are the backbone of the South African economy, but the reality on the ground tells a little bit of a different story. Too many of these small businesses are still running on spreadsheets and WhatsApp, locked out of the tools that could really help them compete better against their bigger rivals. Now, Vodacom Business set up its advisory board last year to help bridge that gap, bringing together tech leaders and external specialists to help enterprises and SMEs navigate digital transformation. Now, in this conversation on TCS Plus today, we're going to dig into what's exactly stopping small businesses from going digital, whether bundled connectivity and cloud offerings are genuinely good for them, and where AI, of course, fits into the picture. Andrew, I think I'd like to get the conversation kicked off with you, if that's all right. Please tell me about the Vodacom Business Advisory Board, why it was established, why you decided to participate in it, and the role that it plays.
We've done some work in the past for Vodacom around SMEs, trying to help them with some of their strategies around addressing the needs of SMEs. And for that reason, I was asked to join as to give some background, some ideas on segmentations, some ideas on the needs of those organizations.
All right. So your organization is called 8020. Tell me a bit about that business.
So it's a company that's been around for 22 years, started out as three people in a living room, essentially, and then got premises, and have now grown to 70 people. So I very much feel part of that whole, how do you get an SME from a startup to an established organization? And we started out with doing management consulting, traditional management consulting. We developed some data tools, and that's really where we started to take off was to get those tools into corporates. We got a number of clients fairly quickly, and that's helped us grow into developing more and better data tools and ride that big data wave over the past 20 years into what we do now, which is really a lot of consumer analytics, data enrichment, and consumer marketing.
Okay. So how big is the business today? Are you based in Johannesburg?
We're based in Cape Town, 70
Cape
people.
Town.
And
okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Good. Sanesh, I'm going to bring you in here. There's a stat that gets thrown around a lot in South Africa, and that's that SMEs are the backbone of our economy. But many of these companies are flying by the seat of their pants when it comes to technology. You know, they use a bit of cloud there. They probably conduct a lot of their business on WhatsApp. They'd probably be running their finances through Excel or some other spreadsheet software. What's actually stopping them from making better use of more advanced software tools that would allow them to compete better with their bigger rivals? What are some of the barriers for them? Is it just a case of, you know, running a small business, it's so difficult to see the wood for the trees and to know what to do, especially if you're not a technologist?
Yeah, I think, thanks, Duncan. I think that one of the key challenges that you'll find, or one of the biggest barriers, is definitely the fragmentation in the market. If you look at it, there isn't at this as the time had passed, a single provider who could provide all these different types of tools, software for you, together with connectivity and all of that as one single offering. And so, the fragmentation really impedes these SMEs in the sense that, you know, if you were looking for something to manage your books as accounting, you would go to one provider. And if you needed to, let's say, manage the workforce, if you were running a fleet and logistics company, you'd need to go to another provider. And this obviously introduces a few elements into your business operation. One is it's not your core capability. So you may not necessarily have the skills to know how to procure these. Two is then you've got to invest in skills, you've got to invest in training and all of that to bring this into your business. And all of this together then just makes it a really, really complex task, especially if you're a business that is not tech savvy. You know, you could be, as example, electrical or plumbing type of trade. You're really good in the trade, but you don't understand the nuts and bolts of the technology.
I guess that, you mentioned a plumber, for example, And I suppose we shouldn't expect a plumber to know what a cloud-based service is or a software-as-a-service application is and all the sort of jargon that the IT industry so often uses. Or what you're trying to do here with Vodacom Business, are you trying to simplify or demystify the whole concept of IT services to SMEs who are not technologists?
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the main aim, is that, you know, after you connect it and you have a way to actually communicate with your staff and your suppliers and all of that, the next stage is how do you really become productive, which is the software, cloud, collaboration tools, etc. But really, it's about that partnering with each of these different types of SMEs and understanding their business landscape and then making a recommendation of what tools would be best to improve productivity so that, you know, they can extract better profits out of the business. And it's not a one size fits all, right? As we mentioned, the electrician or the plumber, but if you look at an e-commerce shop, they, as an example, are heavy in marketing, digital marketing. It may not be the same for a fleet and logistics company, right? Because they have a lot of people on the ground. Maybe they need to manage their fleet, you know, and efficiency of fuel, safety, all that type of stuff. And that may be some type of solution that helps them manage their fleet better, and so on and so forth. But really, it's about providing, looking at your business, understanding it end to end, and then recommending solutions that'll make you more productive.
Mm-hmm. But I guess all small businesses have a lot of the same requirements, like you need payroll, you need an HR function, that sort of stuff. But then I suppose there's more niche stuff where you do more hand-holding with the client to understand what their requirements are.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I mean, I think, you know, managing your books, paying salaries and all that type of stuff will be pretty standard across different organizations. Obviously, you'd be looking to optimize their cost in that space. But then you start going into, you know, let's say the core capability of that business. As I mentioned, fleet and logistics, it could be e-commerce. You could be a retailer as an example. And then we would tailor the different types of packages or software to suit then the needs of your business outside of the core capabilities.
Okay. Andrew, let me bring you back in. When you engage with a new SME, a business prospective client, is every case different, or do you tailor solutions based on the industry they're in? Let's say they're a small retailer, for example. Would you have a standard set of products and services that you'd go and sell to them, or would you go in and engage with them, have a deep conversation, and then start to develop bespoke solutions for them? Maybe just take us through what the engagement process looks like.
Yeah, so I mean, we're very much in that sort of customer data enrichment space. That's where we play and helping clients understand their customers. And what we've developed is a set of different technologies or products that you can do. So we have a very inexpensive tool that you can just cross-tab who shops for groceries, how often, what are they buying, straight through to where we could match their data to credit bureau data and our own 80-20 national segmentation, and then build propensity models, do segmentations, do personalized communications. So really, we just are guided by, to be honest, the budget and the needs of the customer. But what's nice there is, you know, as I've seen with my own company, these companies that we've worked with that are in that lower end of the range of SMEs sometimes do grow into these larger SMEs. They've got bigger budgets and expanding across South Africa, if not the globe. So it's nice to be able to offer different services at different levels of their development.
Yeah, it must be nice to grow with a company and watch them flourish. All right, Sanesh, we're seeing more platforms starting to bundle connectivity, cloud, and analytics into one offering. Is that genuinely good for SMEs, or is it just a polite way of locking them in?
I think it is good for SMEs, and I think the lock-in will come. But I think it's about how it's responsibly done and how it really drives value for an SME business, and I think that's where the key area lies. So, as an example, as I mentioned previously, if you're an SME and you are actually trying to source four platforms or three platforms, accounting, payroll, and maybe a workforce management solution. Mm-hmm. You would, if you had to do this on your own, you would have to go to each provider, source that on your own, invest the time, the skills, and all of, and the resources to be able to manage that within your business. And that on its own gives another type of lock-in, if you like, because it distracts away from your actual core business and also introduces a lot more cost into your P&L. However, if you are doing, let's say, what I call bundling that's fit for purpose, which is based on what the market is actually asking or what businesses are asking for, you then introduce all of this for them, take away the complexity, and almost give it to them, you know, as one sort of single offering. But then you're able to look at, you know, what are the needs of their business. So if we're talking about a retailer as an example, you know, maybe they need something around video to be able to understand where patrons go and which type of clothes they look at more often, you know. And that could be coupled with some type of, let's say, analytics solution, which helps them actually get better data and makes them market, you know, products that, let's say, have higher demand. And this is where the smarter bundling comes in, or let's say the relevant bundling, because then as a provider that provides all those different types of solutions, you go and recommend this to an SME based on the type of business that they have. So in the case of the retailer, then you're actually recommending things that you have in one, let's say, basket, but it's giving a return on each of the different, let's say, software tools or in, platforms that you put down for them. And that's the sort of, you know, really reliable, responsible bundling, if you like, versus just, you know, blanketly picking a set of solutions and putting it forward. They may not be fit for purpose. It may not generate a return. And then in that case, creates an unnecessary lock-in, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So in practice, how does it work? How would an SME engage with you? Would there, is there a toolbox of solutions that they can choose from with a set rate, a subscription rate for those services? Is it as simple as that?
Yes, it is. So, I mean, we have various channels. So you could come onto the web as an example, and you could have a look at our full suite of services. You know, we also have an app, the VodaPay app, and obviously on there we have particular services that we market. We also have a direct sales team. So, you know, depending on the size of your business and if you would like that type of one-to-one engagement, we can engage with you in that way. And, I mean, as you know, we have quite a large retail footprint. A lot of our customers come into our store and engage with us there as well. So we have various channels, and an SME, depending on their preference, could come and actually engage with us in various different ways.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, Vodacom started life as a connectivity company, but you've moved very much up the ladder and you're competing, I guess, or partnering and competing with various IT service providers and software as a service providers. How do you position yourself competitively in the market relative to a SaaS provider who's knocking on that same SME's door saying, try our accounting solution? And why should they consider Vodacom Business over going for a bespoke solution from one of the SaaS providers, for example?
So I think there's a few elements to this question. I mean, the first thing is that if you look at the likes of the global hyperscalers, you know, the Googles, Microsofts, Amazons, and the like, they obviously bring a product to the table, and they also bring quite a bit of scale in terms of the platforms that they provide. And I think that's quite powerful. But what you will find also is that inside the African market, there are a lot more nuances that are required to make an SME successful. And I think that at Vodacom Business, our role is not one of providing a defense strategy based on the prevalence of these global hyperscalers, but it's one of collaboration, and it's a strategic relationship that we have with these global hyperscalers. And the reason I say that is because the product that these hyperscalers provide is one thing, but the reality is that there's a lot more that's needed to combine those products with other services to make SMEs successful. So I'll give a bit of context. If you take the African market as an example, you know, there are many different nuances that make an SME successful. You know, whether you're selling in the likes of, let's say, a Lagos as a small business versus selling somewhere in Kampala or even in Seattle in the US, they're very different businesses with very different market dynamics, right? Vodacom has played in that space for a long time throughout Africa. We understand the challenges in terms of infrastructure. We understand the challenges in terms of power and, you know, creating resiliency in the network to be able to actually connect SMEs. We also understand the regulatory landscapes very, very well. And all of these and many others actually impact the success of an SME in those particular markets. And I think where the real power comes and the competitive advantage is that when you partner with these hyperscalers and then you bring the real core capability of, let's say, a Vodacom and the experience of having operated in Africa and put these two solutions together, and that's where you really see the benefit. So for us, it's really a strategic partnership and combining our connectivity and other solutions with, let's say, the likes of these global hyperscaler solutions is where we're able to extract the best profits out of these SMEs that operate in very different markets across the continent.
Mm-hmm. It really does sound like your role is one of advisory and perhaps even handholding to some extent, especially for non-technical startups and SMEs that really don't understand the full benefits of this technology. Would you say that you're in many ways you're an advisory firm, helping companies and assisting them with how modern technology can help them grow and be more competitive and agile?
Yes, for sure. And I think this was the premise around the formation of the advisory board. Mm-hmm. Is that first and foremost we see ourselves as a partner in the market to the SME sector. And we want to advise on how we can support you be successful in the market as an SME, how you can extract the best profits, what are the things you should watch out for, et cetera. And we believe that, as part of this, it then generates growth in SMEs. And then mutually so, we also benefit from the partnership in terms of providing services that help these businesses grow. Mm-hmm.
Andrew, when you engage with a new client for the first time, what are typically the pain points they're facing? Is there a common theme across SMEs that you're hearing? Are there specific issues that they're all grappling with, or is each conversation different?
That's an interesting question. I mean, yeah, each conversation certainly is different, but there are definitely some common themes across what keeps them up at night. We're not in the accounting space. We're not dealing with cash flow issues. We're more in, how can you better understand your customer? How can you see where growth is going to come from? How do you personalize your communications in order to target them better? How do you build the models to predict what is the next thing that they need in your basket of goods? How do you get one more item into their basket every month in order to increase your sales? So I'd say one of the common themes is everyone's looking for growth. We've had a fairly low growth economic situation for a while now. Looks like it's probably going to continue. So how do you find growth in a market that is saturated? Everyone's chasing the same sorts of clients. If we're dealing with our upper-end banks or our upper-end more luxury retailers, they're all looking for those sort of 2 million people at the top of the economic pyramid in South Africa. How do they differentiate themselves and actually make a difference in an overtraded market? So that's really where we're getting involved. But what is fascinating is we've also taken on a bit of a technology role, because we can see, as we've been talking about, these companies need technology solutions in order to track what they're doing with their clients on a daily basis. We've even developed some small loyalty apps based on WhatsApp and other simple technologies in order to kind of get into that space and start understanding their customers better. It's a wide variety of different problems, but I'd say growth is most certainly top of mind with the companies that we deal with.
Interesting. And are you finding a lot of, AI has been the buzzword for a couple of years now. Are you finding smaller companies in South Africa are asking you about how they can use artificial intelligence as well?
Absolutely. I mean, it is absolutely a huge buzzword without a shadow of a doubt. But there are very definitely productivity gains that any company could use AI very simply. I mean, you know, where I think about AI, we've been in the AI space for a long time in terms of machine learning. I mean, this goes back 20 years. Mm-hmm. Now you've got generative AI, which is actually helping me write better, helping me strategize better, help me interact with my clients better. But then it's going to building of tools and how to use AI to build a tool that'll actually help you communicate with those clients, track their behavior, track their loyalty. It's a very interesting space, a very frightening and a very exciting space at the same time. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the economy. But I think everybody should be certainly embracing what it's able to offer right now in terms of cost savings, better productivity, and just another set of ideas. I mean, for myself, I just like it as a soundboard to say, hey, I'm thinking of this, I'm thinking of writing that, I've got this idea. And just hearing another answer back helped me kind of formulate my ideas and my recommendations.
And does it help you in servicing your clients as well? Are you able to do things more efficiently and more quickly?
Yes, sir. I mean, definitely in the area of coding. I mean, we're able to spin up environments. We're able to build tools and solutions certainly a lot more quickly. Because a lot of what we're dealing with is based in code. We have developed certain tools that help them with their marketing messaging. Once again, I don't think it's a level where you could just pull it out of the AI tool and put it into your communications, but it certainly would improve what you'd written or give you some good ideas on how else to speak to them.
All right. Sanesh, let me bring you back in here then. Are you seeing similar interest from Vodacom Business clients around AI? And if you are, what are some of the conversations they're having with you about it?
Yeah, I think AI for sure is getting a lot of headlines. I think if you think about the SME market in particular, you know, there are specific challenges that are well known. One of them being access to markets. And generally what that means in the SME context is how do I bring a small business closer to their customers, right? And if I look at AI in particular, I've seen a lot of involvement in the technology where you can actually use an AI tool now to get a good idea of which types of customers you should target. So I think that the technology is evolving, you know, really, really fast and becoming quite able to, you know, talk to particular niches and types of businesses that require very laser focus in terms of, you know, how they approach their customers. And that's just one particular example. But I think outside of AI having, you know, a lot of the headlines, there are other technologies also that are game changing. And one of that being edge computing as an example. And if you think of our continent and the challenges that we have in terms of connectivity infrastructure, edge computing allows for processing of data locally on a device, so you don't have the latency, you don't have to worry about backhaul connectivity being a challenge, etc. And this has, you know, can have a massive difference in terms of the productivity of an SMB. If you think about processing transactions locally, payments, etc. And I think this is one of the areas that also from a technology perspective will be quite a game changer in the SMB market.
Okay. Obviously, a lot of smaller businesses invest in technology and get things wrong. They buy the wrong solution set or they focus in the wrong area. Sanesh, just staying with you for a moment longer, what are some of the big mistakes that you find SMEs are making when it comes to technology?
I think for me, the biggest one is in managing the complexity and the choice of the different types of solutions and who to actually go to. Really what this means in the end is that you just introduce a lot of cost into your business. So you may be not as tech savvy and you may be in a trade that doesn't allow you to necessarily understand the ins and outs of the IT technology. And you could invest in, you know, let's say, or overinvest, let's say, in an accounting package that gives you a lot more capability that you need, as an example, you know, and requires a lot more skills. You know, maybe you just need something like a simple QuickBooks that does something very, very basic and gives you, you know, an idea of what your financials are. But maybe you invested in something a lot more high tech, as an example. So I think for me, it's really about navigating the complexity. around, you know, what to use where. And this is where Vodacom Business is placing a lot of emphasis, is on actually working with these businesses, understanding their landscape, and then giving them the necessary advice around what to invest in so that it generates the best return for them, but also then, as part of that process, gives them the best productivity.
Yeah, I guess that could end up with all these cloud solutions and SaaS solutions out there. It's very easy, and I think we see a lot of big corporates making this mistake even, to spin up cloud instances and buy every piece of software that's available because it looks cool. But then you end up with a huge tech bill at the end of every month, and SMEs just simply can't afford that.
For sure. For sure. And I think this is where a lot of school fees have been paid in the market in the past. And I think that, you know, it's with the proposition that Vodacom Business is bringing to the table now, it has the capability to actually change that the dynamic of the market going forward, because the idea is to make it simple. So if you're in a trade where you don't really understand IT, you don't need to. It's about speaking a business language of how you use a particular cloud tool to improve a business outcome in your business. And that's how simple the transaction will be.
If I think about my own journey as well, is you know, when we were three people, we were all selling the work and we were all doing the work that needed to be sold. As you get bigger, now you've got to bring on maybe a bookkeeper, you've got to bring on maybe HR, you've got to bring on payroll, you've got to bring on a marketer, you've all these resources that are chewing money but not making any money directly. And that's where I get excited about solutions like this is, you know, the amount of time we spent around choosing fiber, choosing laptops, what payroll software, what marketing platform to use, you know, to kind of take that time away and give it back to me to go out and sell more business or create more value. That for me is what's exciting, and how SMEs can use these technologies in order to be more productive.
Okay,
and take
free up their time.
Larger corporates. You know, you walk into some of these corporate buildings and I look around at the hundreds, if not thousands of people, and wonder what each of them are actually doing and how much value they're adding. When you're 10 people, you don't have that luxury. So I think that's where these tools can be extraordinarily valuable.
Yeah. I must ask, Andrew, you're obviously both on the advisory board for Vodacom Business, and you also, of course, work with large enterprises as well. And we've seen in the past where big pieces of software are deployed in organizations that are not well suited to it, like a large ERP system to run a small company usually leads to all sorts of challenges. Is there a risk that the tech industry designs solutions for big corporates and then just tries to shrink them down into a best fit for SMEs? What does a genuinely SME-first product look like anyway?
Listen, I think that if it was 20 years ago, the answer would probably, yes, there would have been a risk, you know? Because if you think about it back then, a lot of the software 20 years or even before that was developed for larger businesses, right? And these were, you know, very bespoke deployments that cost lots of money and required a lot of skills and resources to get developed. But the market has changed. I mean, if you look at it today, you could rent accounting software for, you know, 100 rands if you like. You could go and, you know, pick up a QuickBooks type of service out there. And by the way, you can pay for it for a month. And if you don't like it, you can move on to something else. So I think that, you know, the software market has now created the supply where they are able to provide solutions for small businesses and on the scale of those small businesses and with the simplicity that they require. So I don't think that there is a risk from that perspective. I mean, if you think about it today, you could get anything you wanted from accounting to HR to payroll. If you think of digital marketing, you could do that today as an SMB and you can pay for that as you would like to use it. So the market has certainly changed and it's now tailored for these smaller businesses.
So software as a service has been a big net positive for SMEs in your view?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think the key word you said there is simplicity. You know, like I was lucky to be surrounded by incredibly intelligent people who could use an Excel tool the way no one else could. They could program it. They could use Visual Basic. They could do all sorts of amazing things. They could build their own payroll software. They could But it was only because they're incredibly smart and incredibly skilled and had a lot of experience in that space. The thing when I think about SMEs, you know, I think about when I was actually exporting flowers before 80/20. You know, there were ladies on the side of the street that were turning over 1 million rand a year, employing 5 people, and running the whole business off a mobile phone, you know, and how did they scale? Because they've probably got a 12th grade education. They're not going to be able to build these tools. And they'll probably be confused and overwhelmed by even like a QuickBooks or a more, you know, established piece of software. So how do you make it simple enough that they know this is going to pay my employees on time? It's going to let me know what my cash flow situation looks like and help me at the level I need to be helped. And that's the scalability now, and the simplicity of the software is hopefully what will help those people out.
Yeah, yeah. And that's where Vodacom Business clearly has a big role to play. I wanted to conclude the discussion now, and Andrew, Sinesh, both feel free to jump in on this final question, but can you give me one example, concrete example, you don't have to name them, a concrete example of a South African SME or a sector where you've seen a tech adoption genuinely transforming business and putting them on a new trajectory?
I mean, one, I'm really excited. It's not South African, but I think it's incredible. There's a company called Zipline in Rwanda, and what they do is they're using drones to deliver blood and medicine across the country, and they can get this to any part of the country in 2 hours. And for me, it's astounding, and it's so encouraging to think that a country, because I would, when I look at Rwanda, I think, well, we've got so much more by way of experience, GDP, technology, infrastructure. And to see a country like that develop something just so utterly groundbreaking and life-changing, you know, that's one example that I think is an incredible use of technology. If I think about the other challenges, if you look at, say, a Sweep South or an Uber, you know, one of my employees left us to start Uber South Africa. He was employee one for Uber, and how they've developed from just a small taxi service. I mean, granted, they were able to leverage off international technology. Both of them were, but you know, they adapted it for a South African market. They started out small, and they used cashless digital payments, mobile onboarding, identity verification, all of these other tools in order to build those businesses, all these digital technologies to build those businesses. So I think those are a couple that I get excited about.
Great. Sinesh, anything from your side you'd like to contribute before we close up?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I think that some of the exciting ones are definitely in, every sector has something exciting, really. If I think about FMCG and sort of the delivery and logistics, I mean, that's quite a big sector in the SME market. And here again, you know, there's just so much that you can do. You can start off from the basic CRM tools that just help you capture orders and all of that type of stuff. But then, you know, you start getting into Internet of Things and applications then in the cloud that help monitor their fleet. Look at things like fuel. You start looking at things like, are you in danger zones and how much of cost are we getting from, you know, loss of stock because drivers are going into danger zones. We put in digital payment solutions into the vehicle. So if a driver needed to accept a payment, as an example, on a delivery, he could do so either with his mobile phone and tapping on it or with the actual physical point of sale device. And there's so many, you know, other things that come out of it. I think if you look at Vodacom Business plays quite a significant role in terms of access to finance for SMEs, which we know is quite a big challenge. And again, we're able to provide lending and loans up to 5 million rands. And that goes a long way for various things, whether it's cash flow, whether you're trying to invest in a particular project, and so on and so forth. So, that's one example, but we have so many different sectors. And I think the interesting thing with SME is that it's really vibrant because you're touching livelihoods. And every sector that you kind of get into, you're seeing the pulse of the economy and the potential that this can have towards GDP, towards job creation, and to, you know, really strengthening and growing this economy.
Yeah, and of course, bringing in these efficiencies that technology promises could help strengthen SMEs in South Africa and indeed put the country on a firmer economic footing going forward. Gentlemen, thank you for the conversation today. It's been fascinating. Sinesh Bihari is Managing Executive of SME and Mobile Products at Vodacom Business, and Andrew Fulton is co-founder of data analytics firm 8020. Both are on the Vodacom Business Extraordinary Business Advisory Board. I thank you both for your time this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Duncan. Nice to meet you.